Hello, and thank you for listening as we worship remotely this morning. We know that wherever we experience this time, that the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, we praise your name. Thank you that you are always with us in all of the ups and downs, in all of the joys and sorrows of life. We ask your protection upon our military and law enforcement as they continue to protect us. We thank you for those of the medical community risking their own lives and health to be your instruments of healing in trying times. And we ask your guidance and wisdom to be upon them as they seek to contain and ultimately stop this pandemic. We ask your healing upon the sick and your peace upon the grieving. May we feel your presence with us, and may your Spirit be at work in us through all we think, say, and do. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Scripture lesson is Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I really feel badly for Peter. It seems that he either never thinks before reacting, or he just cannot catch a break. Last week we talked about what I call the holy recklessness of Peter. While on the road to Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked who the disciples thought Jesus was, and Peter, without hesitation, declared that Jesus was the Son of the living God. Peter was commended for his answer, which Jesus proclaimed was the revelation of the living God, and declared that the rock of Peter's faith would become the foundation of the church and even the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell itself, would not prevail against it. The holy recklessness of Peter afforded him insight encouraged, unmatched by the other 11. Then a very short time later, Jesus scolds Peter in a manner that none of the other disciples had experienced. Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." In Romans 12:2, Paul instructed, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." I find it interesting that the mind plays such a prominent role in the Christian faith. The way that I am interpreting the use of our minds this morning is not in the pursuit of knowledge. Yes, that is part of our growth as Christians, but we are considering how what we think, where we focus our thoughts, contribute to our attitudes and our actions. Oftentimes, when we think about renewing the mind, we think of the mind that is in the gutter, but that's not necessarily the case. Faithful, striving Christians can easily fall prey to Satan's playing with our mind. Peter was definitely a believer, an enthusiastic believer. But he could not comprehend a suffering and dying Messiah. I don't think he was trying to be difficult or obstinate. I don't think he was trying to overstep his bounds. He was convinced that Jesus was the Son of the living God, and so all of this talk of suffering and dying did not make sense when referring to the Messiah. I even get the sense that Peter might have been trying to encourage Jesus. So why did Jesus have to say the one he had just a few minutes before called the rock, now call him a stumbling block or stumbling stone? In Luke's version of the wilderness temptation of Jesus, it says in Luke 4:13, "When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time." Some scholars contend, and it makes sense to me, that Peter's lack of understanding and rebuttal to Jesus was an opportune time. Theology based on the New Testament maintains that Jesus was fully God, but also Jesus was fully human. And I cannot imagine that the humanity of Jesus was thrilled about the upcoming events until Jesus actually died. He could have backed out. And Jesus could not allow his own mind to become distracted from the mission for which he was sent. It's so easy for our minds to be shifted in the wrong direction. Jesus scolded Peter that his mind was on human things and not on divine things or the things of God. Paul urged the Romans to not be conformed to the world or to society or to culture, but to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. Our attitudes, our actions are going to be determined by what we think about. Our attitudes and our actions are going to be determined by the focus of our minds. The content of our thoughts leads to all of our attitudes and to many of our actions. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus went so far as to say that our thoughts and attitudes at times are judged as if we had committed the act itself. Paul goes so far as to say in Philippians 2:5, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." So what does a person look like that has the mind of Christ? In Romans 12, 9 through 21, Paul spells it out. In the New Revised Standard Version translation of the Bible, the heading over this section is Marks of the True Christians. It says this: "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will be heaping burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That sounds a lot like the teaching and example of Jesus, does it not? And I can't help but wonder, if every single congregation that claims the name of Jesus lived out this passage within the life of the church, how different might this world be? We might see a lot more people attracted to the church. I wonder further, if we that claim the name of Jesus live such a life among our co-workers, our neighbors, people with whom we conduct business, how much different would the world be? We would probably see more people converted to Jesus Christ. But someone may say, such is not natural. We're not made that way. Such is the very reason it is so important we watch what we allow in our minds. I used to listen to a lot of talk radio. You know what I finally realized? It kept me stirred up. I used to be a news junkie. You know what I finally realized? It kept me stirred up. Yes, I still have principles and I still have my opinions that guide my voting, but I had to ask myself, What was I gaining by being stirred up all the time? And the answer was absolutely nothing. On the other hand, when we read or listen to scripture, when we listen to Christian music, be it gospel, contemporary, whatever style you like, it is amazing how our outlook changes. When we focus on Christ and His faithfulness and His goodness and His callings, we live in the realities of life, but with a purpose and hope that the mind focused on the events and struggles of this world just cannot comprehend. Perhaps we might readily follow Jesus' call to set our minds on divine things rather than human things, and perhaps we might more readily live the marks of the true Christian life if we follow Paul's advice in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, it is so easy for the mind to wander and to wander into some not so good places. It is so easy for our minds to wander into the hopelessness and despair and the fears and the negativity that society is so full of, and in which we live in the midst of. But gracious Lord, we want to be your people. And so Lord, just you know where all of us are and where we allow our minds to go. But Lord, take us all this day and take our minds to a higher level, wherever that may be, that beginning this day, we may think of you, we may focus on you more than we did yesterday, and every day that you give us life, we may do even more so. May our minds become flooded with your love, your attitudes, your priorities, so that even in the midst of the chaos and the craziness and the frustrations of this present world, we may be focused on you. And thus, we pray, being focused on you, we are more in a place where you can use us as your instruments in this world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
To Jesus.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.